topic of our sermon today is the Spirit-led life, and we welcome our speaker, Mr. Benson Ogun Gbamiwa, to share the word, and we look forward to hearing more about this special aspect of our quarter's theme, which is strengthening our faith.
Let's rise on our feet as we pray together. Lord, we give you our thanks this morning for so much you have blessed us with since we gathered together to worship your holy name. We thank you for the work you are doing in this assembly. Thank you for the mercies you have bestowed upon us continually and the opportunities you've always given to us to come together to learn of you so as to make the most of our days on earth. We thank you for this morning. We know it's to you we have gathered. And we ask, O Lord, that you take preeminence in this meeting. Let every heart be drawn unto you and cause that the entrance of your word will give us light. We worship and adore you. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Please, let's have our seats. We want to thank God for the opportunity we have again to share the word of God with us as an assembly. And we thank God for what God is doing in our midst. And as we build our faith together in Christ, we're looking at the importance of the Spirit-led life. I'll read two verses from the Good News Translation, where we have just read the 17 verses of our text. Let me read the first two verses in Good News Translation. There is no condemnation now for those who live in union with Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit, which brings us life in union with Christ Jesus, has set me free from the law of sin and death. These first two verses of our text make very clear to us how and what God is expecting from us after the salvation experience, and how to live a Spirit-led life. You will notice from this verse, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who live in union with Christ Jesus. It's obvious before anyone can live in union with Christ Jesus, you must be born again. You must be born again. And verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit, which brings us life in union with Christ Jesus, has set me free from the law of sin and death. You will notice from the King James Version, the same two verses, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. It is obvious from the word of God that no one can live the life of God. Only God can live his life in a mortal man. And the Bible is telling us that for those who are in Christ Jesus, and we know what it is to be in Christ Jesus, to be born again, to have experienced the life-changing power of the Holy Spirit. And the salvation experience is essential, very critical, absolutely necessary for anyone to live a Spirit-led life. I know we have looked at salvation experience again and again. I'm sure if you ask those who are used to our coming here, they will say that there is nothing you ask Brother Benson to preach on. He will first go back to salvation experience. And the truth is that this is the critical experience that we need to live the life that God wants us to live and to fulfill the purpose of God on earth. In Ezekiel 36, I'd like us to read it again this morning. From verse 24, we'll see what this experience, the salvation experience, is. And if a man, a woman has not experienced salvation as prescribed in the Word of God, it is impossible to live a spirit-led life. You see, for verse 24, Ezekiel 36, "For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all the countries and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh," or a tender heart, "and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." We can see from the Word of God that the place of the indwelling Holy Spirit is very important to anyone ever living a spirit-led life. Those who truly belong to Jesus Christ are no longer under condemnation. We studied that in our Sunday school this morning. As a matter of fact, we took time to look at what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. The salvation experience, the divine enablement that God gives to a repentant soul to be able to live God's kind of life. In Romans chapter 5, I'd like us to open to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. It said that, therefore, Romans chapter 5, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." We know that it's by the redemptive work of Christ that we are reconciled to God. Salvation is never a reward for any good work, good deeds that we have done. It's by grace and grace alone. And when a man comes to God, when someone is born again, when you have encountered the grace of God, we start the journey of the Christian life as newborn babes, or as newborn babies in the things of God. Of course, God doesn't intend that we will remain babes all the days of our lives. God has made provision for each and every one of us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'd like us to read 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And this is the beginning of the journey. When you are born again, we were all born into sin. We were all born naturally. But when we encounter the saving grace of God, we start our walk with God as newborn babes. In 1 Peter chapter 2, let me read from verse 1. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, and all hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings," verse 2, "as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." This is the beginning of our walk with God. And I want to say this morning, the struggle with sin even after the salvation experience, is very real. Unbelievers don't struggle with sin. They live in sin and they enjoy sin. In fact, it's the life they have, the life of sin. But when we have encountered the saving grace of God, the struggle with sin begins. And the scripture in Romans chapter 7, look, many of us were not in the Sunday school. I would not have been reading all these Bible passages because we read them extensively. But I'd like us to read them together. In Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25, let me read from the Good News Translation. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am a mortal, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for I don't do what I would like to do, but instead, I do what I hate. Since what I do is what I don't want to do, this shows that I agree that the law is right. So I am not really the one who does this thing. Rather, it is the sin that lives in me. I know that good does not live in me, that is, in my human nature. For even though the desire to do good is in me, I am not able to do it. I don't do the good I want to do. Instead, I do the evil that I don't want to do. If I do what I don't want to do, this means that I am no longer the one who does it. Instead, it is the sin that lives in me. So I found that this law is at work. When I want to do what is good, what is evil is the only choice I have. My inner being delights in the law of God. But I see a different law at work in my body, a law that fights against the law which my mind approves of. It makes me a prisoner to the law of sin, which is at work in my body. What an unhappy man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is taking me to death? Thanks be to God, who does this through our Lord Jesus Christ. This then is my condition. On my own, I can serve God's law only by my mind, while my human nature serves the law of sin. Now we can see that when one is born again, there's a desire to live for God. There's a desire to live out the life that we have in us. But the operations of the new creation man, like we all have known, we have shared this together again and again, that we are new creation men in the body of an old nature, the human nature. And when we got born again, we only have a new heart, a new spirit, and God gave us his spirit to enable our regenerated spirit to delight in God, to walk in him, to obey him. And you see, God knew. That's why God said, it's after I have put my spirit within you and I have regenerated your spirit and I've given you a new heart, then can you do my will. So we realize that this work of grace that God does in the life of a man, we have the instant work of grace, the giving of new heart and all of that, but there's also the progressive work of grace, by which one grows in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. One now knows how to use the means of grace to access for that grace in our personal walk with God. We know that God created us in Christ Jesus unto a new life. And God's desire is that we will no longer be led. We will no longer be guided by our old sinful nature. Thank God that our old sinful nature was crucified with Christ on the cross at Calvary, so that the man of sin might be destroyed, so that we no longer serve sin, we are no longer under the bondage of the old life, But now we have been set free by God to live by the help of the Holy Spirit, the life that God will have us live. One of the things God did for us at the point of salvation is to break the power of sin over our lives. Not only did God fully atone for sin, but he also broke the dominion that sin used to have over our life. He broke into pieces to set us free so that we can serve God in the newness of the life that we now have in him. But experientially, you will see that a lot of us still get entangled from time to time with the old life. Things like malice. I remember this morning the issue of anger was attended to in the Sunday school. And so we found that there is a struggle. Sometimes you don't want to keep malice, but you just see you are avoiding a fellow church member. When you don't want to be in a meeting, there is a way you tactically arrange even journeys that you were not meant to make. You make it because, you know, you want to avoid that particular meeting. And you find out that you're struggling. You want to honor God. You want to please God. But something is making you, something is taking control of your life. You are not able to love the people of God the way you ought to. You are not able to walk in the ways of God the way you want. You want to read your Bible. You find out that when you hold the magazines of this world, you can read them for hours. But when you pick the Bible, you start dozing. You can talk and gist with people for hours, but to spend 1 hour with God in personal prayer is a problem. You long to be a spiritual giant. And I can say that it is this lack of understanding of how the new creation life operates that puts a lot of us into this trouble. From our text, we can see that this life is intended by God to be lived in union with Christ, to be lived in complete dependence upon Christ, depending on him in every facet of our lives. Jesus said in John 15, verse 5, I say, without me, you can do nothing. And you know, many of us are struggling. We really have not understood the fact that the Spirit-led life is not an experience meant for some special men of God. In fact, Watchman Nee calls it the normal Christian life. It's just the normal Christian life. Any other life that we live and we are not guided by the Holy Spirit in everything, in every sphere of our lives. The life, when we are born again, we are no longer our own. We have been bought with a price. And the Bible says we must glorify God in our bodies, which are members of Christ. And how do we do this? It's by living in complete dependence of Christ, asking him in every situation we face. We're asking him, Lord, what will you have me do? You will notice that Saul of Tarsus was doing so many things, religious things, that he also thought he was serving God. But after the encounter in Acts chapter 9, his lifestyle changed. His principle of living now is, Lord, what will you have me do? No one can live a Spirit-led life. You may know about it. You may be able to preach it, but you won't personally experience it. And I want to say that life can be difficult. You can't be born again and not depend on God. You will compromise. You will dabble into many things that you ought not to dabble into. You find that you will not be able to wait for God in matters of life. And God's provision, the reason why God has given us his Spirit is to be able to help us. He has given us the enablement. to be able to trust in him, to be able to rely on him, to be able to live every day in union with him. I'm sure most of us here, we have our GSM phone, our cell phone. Even if you have the most expensive phone in this world, without a SIM card, whether virtual or the physical one, you won't be able to operate it. And it's the same thing with the experience that God has brought us into in Christ Jesus. This life is intended to be lived in complete dependence on Jesus. And how do we live? How do we live this life? We keep asking God. We keep listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit. Don't forget that the Word of God and the Holy Spirit cannot be separated. Those principles that we have been taught in the Word of God, they are the principles of the kingdom of God. They are the principles of the Spirit of the living God. When you know the Word of God on any matter, you know the mind of the Holy Spirit on that matter. After all, these holy men that gave us this word, the Bible says they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. You know, it's important to understand that we can waste our salvation experience when we are not living in union with Christ. We realize that what God planned to do with our lives, God had it on his mind long before we got born again. And it's by the Holy Spirit that he leads us and guides us into what he wants to do with our lives. If you are privileged to have been born again before you got married, you will see that the Holy Spirit will select who you marry for you. If you were born again before you went to school, the Holy Spirit will guide you. And you know, when you talk like this, people think, enough of this spirit. In fact, they say, look, we don't want too many of these spirits. I want us to know that without him, we can do nothing. We can't live a victorious life. We can't live a triumphant life. Even when we have met Jesus, like the early apostles had been born again, well, you know, they were still very weak. They were still very powerless. We saw how even Peter still ran away, denied Jesus was to be crucified, and denied him. Jesus knew that without the Holy Spirit, nobody can fulfill the purpose of God on earth. And that was why Jesus told them, he said, tarry in Jerusalem until you endure with the power from on high. We know that before Jesus was glorified, the Holy Spirit was not yet given. And we realize that when the Holy Spirit now came on those ordinary men and women, we saw the exploits that God did with their lives. It's important to know, the first thing is to understand that we were saved to live a spirit-filled life and a spirit-led life. That's what God saved us for. He knows that on our own, we can't do anything. And the matter of being born again and abiding or remaining in Christ is very critical. You know, there are people today that don't understand that the Holy Spirit is God's security for our salvation. Because he is the one that is able to keep us until either death comes or rapture happens. It's the Holy Spirit that can keep us steadfast in our faith. So for us to live a spirit-filled life, after the salvation experience, they need to continually abide in Christ. Another word is living in union with him. Living in union with him. You know, most times, we think we just can live our lives the way we want. I hear people say, oh, once saved, saved forever. That is not the gospel of the kingdom of God. It's not. In Galatians chapter 5, I'd like us to open our Bible to Galatians chapter 5. I read from verse 1, Galatians chapter 5. The Bible says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free." The freedom that we have in Christ, that the power of sin is broken over our lives. I take my bearing from what Jesus did on the cross at Calvary and from the enablement of the indwelling Holy Spirit. He says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." So it's possible after the salvation experience for a Christian to fall back into sin, to be held in secret sin. And I can tell you, many Christians today are in the bondage of secret sin. Either people are trapped in pornography, they are trapped in immoral lives, they are trapped in lying, they are trapped in dirty businesses, dirty transactions. You say God understands. So it's possible for that freedom. The Bible says, "Whosoever the Son of God sets free shall be free indeed." When God has broken the yoke of sin over our lives, He gives us the Holy Spirit to enable us to maintain a life set apart for God, a life set apart for His purpose. Verse 2 says, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor." We read in verse 12 of our text that we are not debtors to the flesh anymore. But he said, "Look, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the Lord, ye are falling from grace." I want to say that the Spirit-led life is not optional. It's not optional. It's the life that God wants every one of us to live. Whether you are a preacher, you are not a preacher, you are a worker in the church, you are not a worker in the church, virtually all activities of life that we are involved in, God is interested in them. God is interested. In Galatians 5, verse 25, the Bible says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." The New Living Translation says, "Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives." That's New Living Translation. It says, "Since we are living by the Spirit." So the new life, we can no longer borrow from the suggestions of our sinful nature to live the new life. No. We can no longer use those ways we used to operate in. There were ways we used to get contracts. If you look at men who are making serious money in this country today, every one of them is living one corruption or the other. And people even think that maybe you can settle God. Maybe when you have made the money, you bring a chunk part of it to the church. No. So we can see that the Spirit-led life is not optional. It's not optional. Every day we need God. Every day we need Jesus' help. We need His guidance. Maybe you are an executive. You need Him to help you do your work, to bring honor and glory to Him. Wherever God has placed you, without God's guidance, you can't do anything. You see, the tide of corruption is so strong in our nation. we are talking about is not speaking in tongues. So. You know, somebody can be speaking in tongues and fornicate. Yeah? One of the errors of our days is, so when they meet your brother, have you born again? Do you speak in tongues? They say, I speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Even if you are masturbating, hallelujah. Huh? Even if you are going out with somebody else's husband, hallelujah. We are in the time of terrible compromise. You know, there is so much knowledge about the Bible that our problem now is not knowledge. It's not knowledge. But we are having knowledgeable men who are unbroken. Unbroken but knowledgeable men. They know scriptures, but they are not sober. And the way you will know a man or woman who is living spirit-filled life is not somebody who enters office as a sheremos and the herbal rondo herbible. You know, that's not the way you will know them. No. Do you know there's virtually no office you enter today? Christians are playing music. If you enter there, you see they are playing Christian music. Something tells you, oh, we bless God. Maybe God is in this office. But the level of compromise, the level of immorality, the level of ungodliness shows that most of us don't, we know spirit-led life in knowledge, but not experientially. I was invited to pick a job, to do a job, and in the peak of my being stranded financially. And that's when the devil comes for us. He knows those things we need most. I know there was a clause there. They want to give you something, maybe X naira. They ask you, you are going to add maybe X plus Y, a million for them. And they will give you a check to mobilize you to go and execute that project. Then they take their own upfront money, then you begin to struggle with your business. When I looked at the man's, I said, but you are an elder. My staff who got the job told me this, is an elder in the church. And I told you, I said, sir, I learned you an elder in the church. The man said, are you the one that will tell me about my Christianity? Leave that one. Do you want this job or not? And I looked at him into his face and said, I don't need this job. The man was looking at me. He said, you must be very, very rich. He didn't know I did not have 5,000 naira in my account when they were offering me that job. See, we need men and women who are spirit-led now. Enough of these issues, oh, we have millionaires in our church. God is not interested in millionaires. God is interested in men and women that will follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You will see that there are several transactions that will no longer fly, at least on your own table. It may fly on other people's table, but when it gets to my own table, it will end there. Because that is the divine enablement that allows us to live the life that brings honor and glory to God. You know, many of us are no longer abiding in Christ. And that's why we are so powerless. We can't make any difference anymore wherever we are. We are just quoting Bible. We are even audacious. We frame it and put it there. The people know that it doesn't really matter. When they bring their corrupt businesses, they'll tell you sign. And because of what is in need for you, you also will sign. But you know that they are stealing local government money. It's a state money they are stealing. When people are led by the Spirit of God, they cannot walk in sin. Bible says, shall we continue in sin that this saving grace will abound? He said, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live in it any longer? The Holy Spirit enables us, empowers us to live an upright life. He enables us to say no to the corruption of our age. We were doing recruitment in our office some time back. And I gave the phone to our secretary, who happened to be a lawyer. I noticed every time the way we'll be conversing, he's supposed to be a brother. We'll be telling him, okay, I'll see what I can do for you. I'll see what I can do. Call me in the... So I was so frustrated, I had to ask him, brother, give me this phone. So I decided to collect the phone to go home with it. And at 9 p.m., a lady called. He said, sir, you asked me to call you back in the evening. So I knew it was him. So I said, yes, what can I do for you? He said, sir, I need this job badly. And I said, okay. He said, anything you want, I will give it to you. I said, eh. I asked her, I said, what can you offer? I did like I was interested in something. And this lady was audacious to say anything you want, including myself. I said, okay, I said, what is your name? Then she gave me her name. I said, okay, will you hear from us? When I got to the office the following day, I asked for application and they brought it. I decided to shred it. Christians no longer worry about sin. We no longer stand against sin. We just want to be studying Holy Spirit in the church. But when it comes to Him guiding us, we are not willing for the Holy Spirit to guide us. You know, when I finish now, the next thing you evaluate how the preacher preached. So sad. You are not evaluating how you are living your life. You are not evaluating the fact that secret sin has trapped you. And it will be impossible to live a spirit. You know, this spirit field we are talking about, it's not somebody laying hand on you and say, be filled. No. There is a lifestyle that makes you become filled with the Holy Spirit. And there is a way a man, woman, led by the Holy Spirit, lives his or her life. You see that when you begin to, deal with those issues of sin, because the first thing the Holy Spirit will be doing is to be pointing at your life those things that are wrong. And He's doing that so as to help you overcome them, not just to accuse you. The Holy Spirit doesn't accuse us. He draws our attention to what is right. I mean, what is wrong, and also what is right. And when we repent, you will experience the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the joy of the Holy Spirit, the strength that the Holy Spirit gives to a man. You will enjoy it. Let me tell you, the most difficult way to live now is to live a life that is not led by the Holy Spirit. The times we are in are evil. We are in very perilous times. And it's God we need most. We need God now more than any other thing. There is no trouble, there is no situation you are in. If you will just depend on God, look unto God, and listen for His guidance, God will pull you out of that problem. That's nothing God. You know, it's a wonderful life. It's a beautiful experience. About 2 years ago, we were scammed. And it was a pastor who I had related with for over 22 years, and is still pastoring as I talk with you, that came to borrow money from me. And that was how it all began. It's not a story, I can tell you everything. And in a space of about 8 months, they swindled six of us over $3 million. Let me tell you, even the church is full of criminals. We can't see that the days of saying bro, 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 they are over. This bro, bro thing worked in the revival. It no longer works now. It was so bad that they threw our things in the rain in this Lekki phase one. They got caught, John, the pusher. It was a bad experience. Everything was grounded. And I asked God, I said, God. I remember the night the brother called me and asked for the first tranche of money. The scripture that God threw to my heart was, be careful, your adversary, the enemy, is going around looking for whom he may devour. I said, who is, why is, how can adversary devour me now, God? And I didn't know it was a brother who was the adversary that was going to devour me. It became so bad. One day, I didn't have 5,000 naira in my account. My staff had to be resigning in droves. I could no longer pay salary. I just remember, I said, I have my guide. I went back to God. I said, God, how do I get out of this trouble? Then God said, call Joe. See, when you have the Holy Spirit, when you live a spirit-led life, there is no corner Satan can box you that God will not bring you out. Not possible. I had called Joe, and I have so many Joes in my life. There are many of them. I have some in local jail, I have some in other. So I asked, which of the Joes? The Joe that was sent to come and recover money, that the people we borrow money from sent to come and, I said, how can I call the man who came to recover money? How? What say, call him? So I called the man. He said, yes, Mr. Benson, I was just planning to call you. That our money. I said, okay, I need money to revive my business. That was the man that God used to take me to where he stood for me. Imagine somebody who came to recover debt. He's now guaranteeing another debt. You know, it will take only God. That was how God pulled us out of. At least, substantially, we are not sinking anymore. Just less than 2 months ago, we were going around looking for a house in this Lagos. If you have ever looked for a house in this Lagos, you know it's the most difficult place to find a house. And there was this man who just, he just called us that he heard we've been looking for a house. He said we should meet him somewhere in Isheri. So we got there. He took us to a property, and my spirit just agreed that was where God was taking us to. And he called the person handling the property. They said it was not around. He said, okay, we should wait. So we sat in an eatery for 2 hours. We are just about a month in, where I'm telling you. But I don't know any other life to live, if not a spirit-led life. There's no other life to live. Life can be very difficult, can be so hazardous without God leading and guiding us by His Spirit. When it was 2 hours, we sat down there. One of my managers said, we sat, we're looking at each other, waiting. Suddenly I heard the Holy Spirit said, get up now, go back to that house. The man that has the key of that house will meet you there. I said, So I called my staff. He's in this meeting. I said, please call the estate man. So when the man came to me, we're in the same. I said, sir, we need to go back to the property. The owner of the key the owner of the house, who is holding the key, will come and meet us. The man just freezes his face. Well, sir, what kind of talk is this? Do you know? The man reluctantly entered our vehicle. We drove there. As we were packing, the lawyer that was handling the property called this man. And the man picked the face and said, yes. The lawyer said, where are you? He said, we are in front of the property. He said, okay, stay there. He said, the landlord is coming with the key. The man said, what church do you go to? And I told him, it's not a matter of church now. It's a matter of walking with God. It's a matter of being guided by the Spirit of the living God. It's not for any special set of men of God. No. It's the benefit of every child of God. The Bible says, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. You know, before we could say Jack Robinson, the landlord came. And the man just... my experience, I had been praying that God, I don't want to fall into the hand of Shylock landlords. The man is a district pastor in Deeper Life. The elderly man walked in. He looked at me, he said, something my spirit agrees with you. In my heart, I knew it was God. So the man opened the place, said, we should check. He said, if you are interested. We checked it. When we came, I said, we are interested, sir. Do you know, we signed the agreement, we did the payment, we moved out of that place under 3-4 hours. And I had looked for a house for more than 6 months, but I never got one. But that morning, we've been praying. But that morning, I don't know, I just fell on my knees after wearing my clothes. I said, God, help me. It's a key to being led by the Spirit of God. You ask for the help of God. You know, most of the times we think we can handle it. As I just said, help me. And I know that day God closed that chapter. And see, I can share with you several experiences. And these things are not just for every one of us. We are meant to experience the Spirit-led life. And it's my prayer. Because in strengthening our faith in God, which has been our theme for a while, when you personally experience God in your life, when you know more than your teachers. I don't mean the knowledge, Joe. I'm not saying you will know Bible more than your teachers. That's not what I'm talking about. You have the experience, a first-hand experience of God in your life, more than any man can describe of God to you. And I pray this will be your personal experience in Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads and pray. You must be born again. God must put His Spirit in you before the Spirit of God can lead you. If the Spirit of God is not yet in you, and I'm not talking about baptism in the Holy Spirit. You know what we read in Ezekiel 36? It's not baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's the salvation work, the work of grace. If you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you will see that your life will be full of compromises. Your testimonies will be dented by all manners of compromises. I want you to pray this morning. Ask God. If you are here and you have not given your life to Christ, you can invite Jesus into your life this morning. And if you have been born again, but secret sin has perforated, has damaged your life, don't you see what is happening today in the body of Christ? Don't you see some men that we thought have done great works? Some of them are turning out to be gay people, homosexuals. You know, people don't know you can overcome sin by the help of the Holy Spirit. Even the church today is ordaining LGBTQ people into leadership. He said, let's allow them. Because those who are allowing them, they themselves are trapped in sin. You have not experienced the glorious liberty of the sons of God. I want you to pray for yourself. You can't overcome sin by personal determination. You need the help of God. We can't guarantee anybody will make it to heaven unless by the help of the Holy Spirit. We read in Galatians, people can fall from grace. The Holy Spirit was given as God's down payment for our salvation. So we need Him. We need to listen for His voice. We need to respond to His promptings. We need to, surrender our lives to Him. I want you to pray that God will give you a continuous, unbroken abiding in Christ. To those who are in Christ, to remain in Christ, no matter what the world throws, what the devil throws at you.